Each of the Zionist-only settlements that came under attack was located next to a known military base, placing them within the immediate combat area. Regarding the music festival, the event was held next to Re'im, Israeli regime military base on the Gaza border. Re'im military camp and its nearby settlement by the same name was another post guarding the siege on Gaza. Following Hamas' successful raid on the fortified military base, the Zionist regime troops abandoned their positions, guns and uniforms, and fled half naked to hide among festival goers and into the nearby Re'im settlement. It's very likely that fighters were not aware of a music event in a war theater, and likewise, it was plausible as they chased Zionist regime troops. They could have reasonably suspected the large gathering of young men and women, as military conscripts and associated their presence with the business of the military base. In other words, they were caught in fire. Like the ones in the nearby settlements who were used as human shields by the fleeing Zionist regime troops. Meanwhile, much have been said and written that the success of Hamas' military operation was the result of an Israeli regime intelligence failure. Media security pundits, however, failed to connect the raid within the broader context of the Palestine conflict, not only when an Israeli is killed. Hamas' success was not solely an Israeli regime intelligence failure, as suggested by the media pundits. Rather, it can be attributed to the long-standing suffering of 2.3 million people in Gaza, who for 18 years yearned for the day they could break free from their confinement. This determination and ingenuity took the world by surprise, even baffling the best military planners. Another factor is the Zionist regime arrogance. Empowered by international impunity, Benjamin Netanyahu belongs to the Zionist school of thought, believing that the more Palestinians are suppressed, the less there is need to talk about peace. Despite some of the obvious signs, the prime minister didn't believe that the people, who he came to believe are less than his chosen race, would be capable of breaking the jail and overcoming the jailer's posts. Having stated that the Zionist regime officials are united in dehumanizing the Palestinians to justify their inhumanity, throughout human history, dehumanization was always a prerequisite to carrying out genocidal wars and oppression. We saw that during slavery, stealing the land of aboriginals. In this case, and to prepare for the onslaught on Gaza, the Zionist regime war minister announced several inhumane punitive measures against the Palestinians, such as cutting off water, food, and fuel. To justify the Zionist regime's savagery, he declared, "We are fighting human animals and we act accordingly." Alas, it's very unlikely the international community would have tolerated the slaughtering of animals, as they have allowed the Zionist regime to blow Palestinian children to smithereens. Meanwhile, the so-called moderate Zionist regime president dismissed a question from a journalist regarding the death of civilians in Gaza, where he suggested that civilians in Gaza are legitimate military targets, saying, "It is an entire nation out there that is responsible."
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady. You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear ladies from all around the world. Welcome back to a new episode of your own program, Muslim Lady. This is IRAB English Radio. I'm Asma. I have the honor to be your host once more. And here we have Sister Zainab with us. Assalamu alaikum, sister. And
alaikum assalam. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Well, women have got too much of things to take care of. One of those very dear things are their bodies. And then since there is media, and then since there is a propaganda working so hard for women to get into some unwanted, unnecessary stories, then there comes too much of problem in the way of this loving that women have toward their bodies. The thing is that for a special time, for a special period of time, as in for 50 years, they try to advertise upon the very fact that skinny woman, this is the criteria, so go for it. And then all the women, since they want to be the best of all in this world, they would go for it. Then after a special time, they come and say, curly hair is the most beautiful hair ever. All the women then go for the curly hair. And then again, you know, that works like a circle. Whatever the propaganda, the people who are working behind the curtains would decide for me what is beautiful and what is the criteria. What you should put on the pedestal as your model and what you shouldn't. As in, for example, if a woman is a fat woman or a little bit of a chubby girl, then she would feel like depressed because in a competition, she feels herself like she's entering a competition that has got no good end for her. You know what I mean? So this is a problem that right now we as ladies are suffering from in society.
The trend of body perfectionism or body idealism has had a detrimental impact on women, leading her to body dissatisfaction, severe kind of dieting.
Even hate herself.
Even the development of eating disorders such as bulimia. You know, one of the major factors, as you already mentioned, that contributes to this phenomenon is the media. Women are bombarded with unrealistic beauty mm-hmm. standards that are portrayed by the media because they often portray a narrow definition of what is beauty. These images and these messages have created an environment where women feel pressured to conform to these standards, leading to a deep-seated dislike for their own bodies. You know, I just had was looking at a post of my friend yesterday. She is a little chubby, and she's a mother now, and maybe she's much more chubby. But she had written a very beautiful post. She had written that unlike other women to go for body image and, you know, body perfectionism and body idealism, I look at the mirror and I'm proud of seeing a mom who has given birth to a baby and is much more ahead than those women who
the
are
the worst within.
Right. So I see this mom and I'm proud because she wakes up at night. She takes care of her children. She takes care of everyone around.
And exactly.
She experiences that motherhood. I'm proud to see her in the mirror as a chubby woman and, you know, not having that ideal body that the media is portraying.
You know what, sister? Let's get something straight from the very beginning. There is something, a truth. I'm a woman and I care for my body. It's so dear for me. Okay?
At the same time, it's very important to understand that Islam is not against it.
Exactly.
It's not against it. Like we have a verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beautiful and he likes beauty, but not a narrow definition of beauty.
Exactly, not a narrow one. Like as in, it's important to be in shape, but it's not important for everyone to be skinny.
It's not, I would say, obligatory.
Yeah, it's not an obligation. It's a choice, you know. This is your body. And you try to be the same as you would like yourself to be, not the same as what society wants you to be, not the same as the perfect picture the men of your society want you to be.
Right. Because this relentless pursuit of a perfect body, it leads women to adopt so many severe, you know, diet regimes.
Exactly, yeah.
And they manage to
go
to extreme dieting.
She would hurt herself.
Exactly. They manage to go for extreme dieting. They restrict their food intake. And they, you know, take themselves to dangerous levels.
Without going for a break, you know. They do that even without going for a break. But right now, we have to go for a short break. So don't go anywhere. Is so dear to a woman, she takes care of it, but it's not all that she has. She has a heart and she has a brain. The way she thinks and the way she improves herself are more beautiful than what she looks like. So the heart of a lady is much more important than the body of a lady. Yes, you're still listening to Muslim Lady. This is IRB English Radio. I'm Asma, and Sister Zainab is telling us about this body image and this perfectionism that we have toward our bodies.
Right. So we're talking about this pursuit of you know, perfect body.
Never-ending pursuit, let's say.
Yeah. That has actually led women towards the severe depression because they have to go for extreme dieting. They have to restrict what they are eating.
Exactly.
They have to,
and the question is, you know, the question is, who are these people to decide what picture is the perfect picture for a woman to look like?
Seriously, and this obsessive focus on weight and appearance has got so many severe consequences for her both physical and mental well-being.
Exactly.
Again, as we say, if she educated herself on that note, she would do the contrary, because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says about the consequences of not having dinner, you know, eat dinner even if it's a handful of dates, because leaving it makes a person old. Now you never know, you're skipping dinner to look younger.
Exactly.
But our traditions say, our narrations say that
you're destroying yourself.
You're actually making yourself get older earlier.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that too, because of that additional mental pressure that you
exactly.
have. I have to have a perfect, you know, look, a perfect body and all that. Also, Imam Ali alayhi salam, about when the he was asked, when what was the time? He even tells us the time. When would the prophets have dinner? Imam Ali alayhi salam says that the prophets would eat dinner after the darkness of night would, you know, kind of start.
Exactly.
And don't skip this time because it will destroy your body again. Mm-hmm. So we are actually told how to keep that perfect body by not skipping what you're eating, by giving that perfect timetable.
Exactly.
When to eat, what to eat, how to eat. Also, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, do not skip eating dinner. Even if it's 3 bites of bread with salt, whoever leaves dinner, a vein in his body dies that will never come back to life.
Yeah.
If we know about these consequences.
Guys, this is so important. As ladies, you have to keep this in mind.
Seriously, if we knew about these devastating consequences, we would have not gone for those severe dieting kind of things.
I actually don't say that it's bad to take care of what you eat or going through a diet. It's not bad. But what is important is that you shouldn't overdo it in a way that it would lead you to a sick, diseased person.
Yeah, it's not only like you're skipping eating and you're not eating your dinner or lunch.
At least consult
a
person who's professional.
There are some behaviors today. You're forced to go for vomiting, go for excessive exercising.
That's not
permitted. You're not, you know, you should not be allowing your body to do more work than it's supposed to, because you'll be questioned tomorrow. Your body in your hands.
What have you done
amana,
to your body?
Because it's amana. It's a trust with us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's our soul we have to nourish and decide through our, you know, soul and mental capabilities, how to behave with this body, how to behave with this trust of Allah. I am answerable for each and every single thing that I'm going to do in this world. You have eating disorders and...
And also there is anorexia, not having this appetite for eating any food. And then that would lead into... Even there are some movies about that. This girl who's suffering from anorexia, she's about to die just because she has entered a diet that was so harmful for her body. And we could see that a lot among girls nowadays. So let's go for a short break and then we'll be back with some more.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back. This is the last part of today's episode. Well, Sister Zainab and I were talking about different issues regarding this perfect image of women that we wish to have. And then we said that, okay, these people who create this image for me and they tell me that you have to imitate these guys, who are they to set the criteria for me? Isn't it against my freedom? Isn't it against my rights?
Right.
So I'm beautiful the way I am. Nobody else in this world would look like me. And I don't like to look like other people.
Right.
This uniqueness is more beautiful than being all the same, having the same shapes, having the same pictures, having the same, I don't know, hairstyle, whatever.
But at the same time, we have narrations wherein we are asked not to have excessive amount of food. When we say don't skip the food, we don't mean to say do have excessive amount of food.
Yeah.
Moderation is very necessary.
Exactly. We said it. We're not against being in shape. We're not against staying young,
right,
taking care of your body. But
you could go for a lot of narrations that talk about exercising. You
exactly.
could go for even Ayatollah Khamenei. You know, I was in the gym and I was amazed to see all around the posters about his statements, how important he considers exercising for women. So, you know,
exactly.
It gave me a feeling of that upliftment and that freedom. Oh, wow, like women are treated this way in a particular country.
The thing which
country.
Is important is that this dieting thing, this style of life that you should take care of every single thing you eat, or you put yourself in a pressure that, okay, I shouldn't get overweight, it must be your choice. It shouldn't be imposed on you. And then practicing to be like everybody else around as if you're in a competition, this is not a desired thing.
Right. You know, the problem is here that instead of striving for an unattainable ideal, we should focus on nourishing our bodies with wholesome nutrients,
exactly.
The nutritious foods, or engage in the physical activity, as I'm telling you, for exercising, or maintain a balanced lifestyle. That's more
exactly.
important. And also celebrate your achievements, celebrate your diversity, celebrate your inner qualities and achievements, rather than focusing on the external experience.
Yeah. Thank you, sister.
Rather than focusing on the external appearances.
Thank you very much. I am sure that we still can talk about this issue pretty much, because there are a lot of things that come out of it. But then in the end, I would say that this propaganda that's going everywhere, this thing that you see has been advertised everywhere, everybody is talking about it, this baby dolls, this Barbies that are everywhere, these are not the perfect picture of a woman. If they are trying to make these things look so conspicuous, it's because they want to distract you from the main purpose of your humanity, that is to improve yourself, as in being a good person. All the high, you know, the body of a woman has been into a spotlight, while her character, her personality, has got no importance right now. That's why we see how different are human beings. So take care of yourself. It's important to be in shape. It's important to go for gym. It's important to have fun for yourself. It's important to devote some time for your own benefit. But then do not get in the trap of these propagandas. That's all. Thank you, Muslim ladies. Until another session, I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something. Something to happen to me. But this waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Thought.
Hello everyone, and our condolences to you on a doleful day. Today, the 10th of Rabi Othani, is the passing away anniversary of one of the noblest ladies of the Holy Prophet's blessed household. She was Hazrat Fatima Ma'sumah, peace be upon her, the daughter of Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him, who after a brief 17-day sojourn in the Iranian city of Qom, failed to recover from the fatigue of the long journey from Medina and departed for the ethereal heavens. On hearing this sad news, her brother, Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Reza, peace be upon him, who was in Khorasan, gave the tidings. Whoever visits her tomb, cognizant of her status, paradise is the reward.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us.
واقعیت زندگی
and try to apply them to our daily lives.
چجوری ممکنه؟
How is it possible?
از راه قرآن
by means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step brothers not the last one
هو الذی ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودین
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth that he may make it prevail over all religions though the polytheists should be averse.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد موسیقی خاصی دارد
روش خاصی دارد. اینها چیزای لازم نیست.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن. از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. 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 کتاب
the largest prison camp in the world. Exile from their homes in the West Bank and Al-Quds, away from children and wives, is another torture the men now face. They've been transferred from a small Israeli cell to a prison 24 by 6 kilometers wide, the Gaza Strip. The groom of this wedding is from Nablus in the occupied West Bank, but his loved ones and friends can't be at his wedding in Gaza. Only his mother and sister were permitted to make the torturous effort to travel from the occupied West Bank through Jordan, then through the Egyptian desert, finally arriving after many days through the Rafah crossing. Without the Israeli occupation, the journey would have taken less than an hour. Louis Odeh from Jerusalem spent 9 years in prison. The Israelis were searching for him between 1996 and 2002. Hamza Naif Zaid is from Jenin. Samir Abu Zair from Al-Quds was condemned to a life sentence. He spent 24 and a half years in prison. The Fourth Geneva Convention forbids the transfer of detainees outside the occupied territory. Article 76 states that all protected persons accused of an offence must be detained within the occupied country, and if they are sentenced, they have to serve the sentence within it. Gaza has been called the largest prison camp in the world, constantly under threat and attack by the Israelis. I was tipped off that Israel was planning to shell the tunnels. Our plans had to change dramatically because we had no legal entry visa from Egypt. We were told if we wanted to leave, we had to make a move earlier than planned. An attack was anticipated, so it was a big risk to enter the tunnel. There was no other way, though. We had no choice. We entered the tunnels again. Gaza has been under siege since 2007. Israel forbids Gazans to travel to the rest of Palestine. And access to the rest of the world via Egypt remains difficult to impossible. The people are trapped. It is not easy returning to a family that has had to survive without you for years or decades. Atta Falana was in prison for 19 years. His health deteriorated every day. He has completely missed his children growing up. Those injured during their arrest are often forced to remain in blood-soiled clothing for several months. Individuals who were detained in their night clothes or underwear do not receive a change of clothing. According to many sources, some 1,000 Palestinian prisoners suffer from chronic ailments. The number of affected inmates continues to rise as a result of medical negligence. Techniques used for breaking the prisoners resemble the wider tactic to break the Palestinian population as a whole. Regular aerial bombardment, attacking civil infrastructure and killing children, tries to break the legendary resolve that Gaza's residents have shown to oppression, to occupation. Israel creates a feeling of terror and confinement in Gaza, just as it does in its prisons. The tunnels are dark, damp and claustrophobic. Breathing is difficult, but it's the only way for so many to get in or out of Gaza. Everything from shoes to baby's milk, from motorbikes to school desks, they all come through here.
I was arrested in 5th of June 1985. I'm an ex-prisoner. I really want to call it a freedom fighter who was released from the Israeli jails after I have spent there 5,261 days, 5,262 nights away from my family, from my beloved wife, daughters, mother, and all family. As one of the more than 700,000 Palestinians who passed this experience of imprisonment in the Israeli jails, I passed this very special experience in the Israeli jails. Imprisonment in general all over the world means to segregate, to isolate, to take a person away from the community, away from life, away from the stream of life, of the daily life. This is in general. Imprisonment in the Israeli jails has a special taste, has a special condition, has a special experience, because the Israeli authorities, the Israeli governments, they intentionally segregate the Palestinian detainee from the community to destroy the humanity, the soul of this detainee, through very severe systematic process of torture, aiming to bring this detainee to feel regret and to feel sorry about the period of his struggle or her struggle against the occupation.
By sending released prisoners to Gaza rather than their homes in the West Bank, Israel is using Gaza as an extended detention camp. Israel claims that its occupation of Gaza ended in 2004, but this is wordplay, aimed at blinding Western public opinion. Watching the oppression and confinement here, perhaps concentration camp is more fitting.
This struggle against occupation is a very legitimate rise, right of human being to resist occupier. This is secured in all international conventions, in the Universal Declaration, the international community signed and accepted. I only exercised my right, even, I call it, it's a duty. It's a duty to resist your country, to resist your people against occupation.
Eretz, the very word makes Gazans shudder, and they don't scare easily.
Erez, a kilometer of no man's land, overlooked by army watchtowers. Then you enter their world, a world of aggressive searches and disembodied orders. Imagine a giant city with only one exit to the rest of the world, and even that is restricted. Erez. To get out of Gaza, we take the same route, the Gaza subway, the tunnels. The Egyptian authorities are aware of these tunnels, closing them when under pressure. Even after the uprisings in Egypt, Gaza is still not completely open to the outside world.
Freedom is a very precious thing for every human being. It is very valuable. We cannot evaluate how it is.
This tunnel is even smaller than the tunnel we took when we arrived. And a cable is drawing the rubble constantly, and it shakes the earth beneath our feet. We arrive at the end of the tunnel, still in Rafah, but on the Egyptian side. We breathe again. Yet we also grieve. When will we be able to return? What will happen to those we have met? We have left a prison, but the innocent inmates, men, women, and children, remain behind. At the end of the tunnel was a house, a home, and a light. The light is free to travel across Palestine, but the people we met are not. I wonder, can Wafa reclaim her youth? Will Atta be able to reunite his family? And will the released Palestinian prisoners ever be truly free?
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamun Alaikum and welcome. This is another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Today is a special day. Today is the demise anniversary of Lady Masuma, peace be upon her. So please accept our condolences on this sad occasion.
As-salamu alayya bint Rasulillah. As-salamu alayya bint Fatimata.
Today, Thursday, is the 10th of Rabiul Thani, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 4th of the month of Aban, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 26th of October, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. The merits of the pilgrimage of the Lady Fatima Masuma. We want to know about it more. There have been many traditions from the Imams, peace be upon them all, about the rewards awarded to those who perform the pilgrimage of this noble lady. Imam As-Sadiq, peace be upon him, has said, "A lady from my children by the name of Fatima will be buried in the city of Qom. Whoever visits her shrine will certainly be admitted to the heaven." Imam As-Sadiq, peace be upon him, has also said, "Visiting her earns heaven." Imam Reza also has said, "Whoever visits Masuma in the city of Qom, it is like he has visited me." And Imam Reza has also said, "Be aware, whoever visits me in a state of purity after doing ghusl, he will come out of sin and become cleansed and purified of sin, as if he has just been born from his mother." Dear brothers and sisters, accept our condolences on the demise anniversary of a great lady, Lady Fatima Masuma, peace be upon her.
Imam Khomeini made sure every day he pays a visit. Okay, every single day. And some people objected to that. They said, you know, you're a marja. It's not appropriate for a marja to be visiting the haram every day. Once a week, once a month, that's sufficient. You don't need to do so much. Imam Khomeini's response to that is very interesting. He says, according to this report, that you don't know who she is. That's why you're saying this. It's not appropriate for me as a marja to go visit her. You're thinking something of me and you don't know who she is that you're saying this. Okay. Someone that Imam Khomeini makes sure every single day. This is what makes the personality of Imam Khomeini what he was. This respect for the family of the Ahlul Bayt, the daily visits when he's here in Qom, and also, of course, when he went to Najaf, he made sure he had that daily schedule in Najaf as well. Another one of the maraja, which rahmatullah alayhi passed away, Ayatollah Behjat. We know his status as well. Okay, both Imam Khomeini and Ayatollah Behjat, one thing that they share, okay, there's differences, but one thing they shared was their spirituality. It was very clear a special status that Ayatollah Behjat had. I remember, I didn't have the chance, like they did, the tawfiq, the effort that they had to visit every day. But the days that we wanted to see him, you could always find him at a certain time in the haram of Hadrat Masuma. Until his old age, he was like over 80 years old, he would come every single day in the morning. After the Fajr prayer in his masjid, he would come, walk to the haram, pay his respects, sit very humbly in front of the haram, do his ziyarat, and recite the Qur'an there. This is how important this is. One of the ahadith that we have in regards to her, which it was interesting that I found one that has a very, very valid chain of narrators. And this one is from Imam al-Ridha, salamullah alayhi, that he says, according to this report, that مَنْ زَارَهَا فَلَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. Look, what type of a personality she is. Okay, that the Imam says just merely visiting her is going to result in a person entering paradise. This is who we are, inshallah, going to visit.
معصوم هاي اخت الرضا هاي النجيبة ماتت غريبة فاطمة ماتت غريبة بصواب اخوها انصابت بجرح المصيبة ماتت غريبة فاطمة ماتت غريبة.
Now in this part, we listen about the high status of Lady Fatima Masuma. In the salutation or ziyarah of Lady Fatima Masuma, which has been narrated from Imam al-Ridha, peace be upon him, one reads, "We ask from Allah not to deprive us from understanding your status. Indeed, He is the protector and has power over everything." In an authentic tradition from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, we read, "A lady from my children, whose name will be Fatima, daughter of Masuma, daughter of Musa, will die in the city of Qum on the day of judgment. This lady will intercede for all my Shia to enter heaven." Although there have been other traditions by the Imams stating that through the intercession of the scholars and the martyrs, people will enter heaven, never has a non-masum or infallibles been especially named for this intercession, as in the case of Lady Fatima Masuma alayha salam. The ziyarah to Lady Fatima Masuma that we have in our hand today has been narrated from Imam al-Ridha. Interestingly, no other non-masum, non-infallible, has had an imam dictate the text and manner of their ziyarah other than Lady Masuma alayha salam. Also, because we know that this ziyarah has been narrated by the imam through a reliable tradition, the virtues of Lady Fatima Masuma within it must be considered true.
As-salamu alayk, as-salamu alayk, as-salamu alayk, ya bint Rasulillah, as-salamu alayk, ya bint Fatimata. السلام عليك يا بنت أمير المؤمنين السلام عليك يا بنت الحسن والحسين السلام عليك.
Now, why did Lady Fatima Masuma not marry? The fact that there were no suitable spouses present for the daughters of Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them all, does not seem so far-fetched when we consider the tradition from Imam al-Sadiq in reference to Lady Zahra, peace be upon her. The Imam said, "If Allah had not created the commander of the faithful Ali ibn Abi Talib for Fatima, then there would not have been a suitable husband for her in the whole world from the time of Adam to the end of mankind." The second reason is that the fear and anxiety caused by Harun's government at that time was such that no one dared to get close to family of Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them. To marry one of the daughters of Imam al-Qasim and become his son-in-law was considered too dangerous. This was one of the many sad difficulties that Imam's family faced due to the tyranny of the rulers of their time. We cannot determine with certainty why Lady Fatima Masuma did not marry. However, we can be sure it was not due to the abandonment of marriage as a personal choice.
Ridha was asked, or he told people, whomever visits my sister Al-Ma'suma, because he was still alive when she died. He said, whomever visits my sister Al-Ma'suma, then Allah will grant him Jannah, inshaAllah. Sayyid al-Mar'ashi al-Najafi, Ayatullah, Mar'ashi al-Najafi. He says, one day, one night, I could not sleep. Something happened, I could not sleep the night. And it was cold, winter cold. So I decided to go to the haram of Al-Ma'suma alayhi salam, Fatima. But then I remembered the haram is closed at this time of the night. So I thought, let me go back, try to sleep until it's before Fajr time. Then I can go. That's when they open the haram and I'll go visit it. He said, so I slept with my hand under my head so I don't go in a deep sleep. So then I can wake up and go. He says, the moment I put my head, a little while later, I went into sleep and I saw Fatima al-Ma'suma alayhi salam in my dream telling me, go and rescue my Zuwar. Go help my Zuwar. He said, I woke up from the dream, from the sleep. I was shocked. What is this? So he said, in that cold, I ran to the haram of Al-Ma'suma alayhi salam. I saw a group of Zuwar. Apparently, they were from Pakistan. Some Zuwar have come. They didn't realize, I guess, the haram was closed that night. So they were standing behind that haram and they were freezing. So this marji', Sayyid Mar'ash al-Najafi, he said, I knocked at the door of the shrine. A man opened the door. He said he recognized me. His name was Hajji Habib, Agai Habib. I told him, Hajji, these guys are the Zuwar of Fatima al-Ma'suma. And look, they're freezing. So open the door for them. Let them get in. He said, no problem, Sayyid. Please, come on in. So he said, they all went in. They rushed to do the ziyarah. I want to do my wudu and to pray. So this noble lady, mu'minin and mu'minat, takes care of her Zuwar.
Dear brothers and sisters, as I told you, today is the demise anniversary of Lady Ma'suma, peace be upon her. So we offer our condolences to all Shia brothers and sisters. And please keep us in your dua and prayers. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we meet you soon. Have a nice time.
اشفعي لي في الجنة فإن لك عند الله شأنا من الشأن يا فاطمة اشفعي لي في الجنة فإن لك عند الله شأنا من الشأن اللهم إني أسألك أن تختم لي بالسعادة فلا تسلب مني ما أنا فيه ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. Thank you.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The headlines: Israel presses ahead with its deadly war on Gaza, with most of the massacres being committed in the areas the regime claimed would be safe. Two resolutions drafted by the U.S. and Russia on Israel's war against the Palestinians failed to gain enough support in the U.N. Security Council. Students in several American universities, including in New York, participate in a national walkout to denounce the